My kid throws all kinds of shit on my desk from school, and then I have to go through it and look at all. I swear. Nothing but a big garbage dump in here. What the hell is this? Oh, the flu shot form that I signed her up for, and then they never gave her one. Goddamn public schools. All right. All right, you ready? Start.
I'm ready.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Just fantastic. Get a little bit of a cold front going on today. It was in the 50s this morning.
I saw it was like 55 down there yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it some places might have been, but it was comfortable yesterday.
Oh.
For shorts and sandals and a sweatshirt.
Oh, so you didn't have to break out like long pants and a parka?
No. No, not yet. Not yet. That day's coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been fucking freezing here.
I bet.
It was in the 40s yesterday. It's not even 60 today. But it is getting warmer. We're past the freezing in the middle of the night thing, so.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, that fucking sucks. Every time the fucking heater turns on, I'm like, ugh. Great. So, yeah. Fun times.
Yeah. Well, it has been nice not to run the air conditioning 24/7 for the past couple of days.
Yeah, well, so we're coming down for Thanksgiving, and I looked, and it's going to be like mid-70s, lower 80s when we get there. So it's like, oh, I got to bring my shorts.
Yeah.
So, yay. So that'll be fun.
Well, you and 20 million other people who will be down there for the holidays.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Good times.
I do this as a favor for other people, and then I get, you know, shit on. So, whatever.
That's all right. I'm sure your in-laws will be happy to see you.
Yeah, right. Tell me to go sleep outside. Whatever. So it was a big week in fandom.
It was.
We had the launch of Disney Plus last week to some issues.
Well, typical.
I mean, look, people were bitching at Disney, but when 2 million people try to sign on to your brand new service all at once, shit's gonna break. Mm-hmm. Like. I don't.
Yeah, but shouldn't you have an indication that you've got 2 million people about to sign on? You know, it's not like they had, like, you know, the first of the month as a start date. I mean, it was November 12th, which was weird in itself.
Well, they were slowly rolling it out to people as like test groups.
Yeah.
To, I guess, see how many, like, if network traffic would really be that hindered. And I don't think it was. I mean, they didn't open it to everybody, but it was enough people where they felt like what they had in place was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 million people tried to sign on, and they were like, well, holy shit, okay.
Oopsie.
What do we do now? And, yeah, it was weird because, like, Tuesday, I downloaded the app while I was at work, and mm-hmm. I signed on and made a profile and all that shit. And then I tapped on something and immediately got an error and it kicked me out. And I was like, well, okay. I mean, I'm not going to watch anything while I'm at work, but whatever. But like, people were vicious. Like, I've paid my $7. Give me what I paid for. And it was like, Jesus Christ, man.
Well, you know how people are.
It's like walking around the theme parks down there. It's like everybody's entitled to what they fucking paid for, and damn everybody else.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't even bother trying to sign on until I got home.
Yeah, I left it alone, and then when I came home at night, I sat down to watch a show and hit play, and immediately got an error, and I was like,
oh,
okay. And it has since done that a couple of times as well. I don't know if we're still in growing pains or not, but like, every once in a while I'll get a thing. If I try to like fast forward through a show, or I go to start a movie, and I'll get like a corrupted data error or something.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, that's weird. And then if I go back out to the menu and hit play again, it'll start. So,
okay. That's weird.
Yeah. But it's done it on different devices too. So I don't think it's I don't think it's an issue with my Roku. I think there's something that's inherent in the system that like, if a certain amount of people are hitting the same thing at the same time, you get an error.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I've been lucky, but I haven't been watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one or two things a day, if that.
Yeah, and Xfinity doesn't have the app yet.
Okay.
So I've got to watch it on the laptop.
Oh, jeez.
Or I can connect the laptop through the HDMI, but that's pain in the ass. You know, so.
You got to get a Chromecast so that you can, like cast it to your TV.
I might have to look into that.
It's only $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it a thought.
Or you could buy a Roku for $50 and kind of be done with it, but whatever.
And what else does Roku have? Well, then you have to like subscribe to stuff, right?
Well, no, there's a bunch of free stuff, but it's an access point for Hulu and Netflix and HBO and all that shit. Like, they all have apps. Do you have Amazon Prime?
Yes.
So then, like, you could get like a Fire Stick.
Okay.
And have access to all the Amazon shows on your TV then, instead of having to watch them on a laptop.
Well, Xfinity does have the Amazon Prime app.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming it's only a matter of time before they get the Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney was slow to roll it out, I think. Like, they had signed the agreements with a bunch of places, but like everybody else, they were like, yeah, in like 2020 we'll get around to rolling this shit out.
Yeah, like they're gonna get around to fixing the Simpsons.
Well, okay, I was just about to mention that. So almost immediately it and I don't know, I guess these people weren't sleeping. I guess at 12:01 they woke up and downloaded the app and started watching things.
Yeah.
But there were a couple things that came out on the first day of things that Disney has either fucked up or changed, or I shouldn't say Disney, but like people got really upset about. And so the first one was The Simpsons. And apparently the way that they are cropping and stretching the old 4x3 episodes cuts off what people are calling a lot of the gags in the early episodes.
Yeah, that are on the outside edges of the, yeah.
Yeah, so once you crop it in and you blow it up, you're losing things. And it's like, who's rewatching 25 years of The Simpsons?
Well, there are people out there.
I guess. And Disney has since come out and said that, I guess starting in the beginning of the year, they're going to change it so that you can watch it in its native 4x3 aspect ratio, or you can watch it in 16:9 with a crop if you don't care about like joke integrity or whatever. Like, so Disney's going to fix it. They're not just saying, well, fuck you, this is the way it is.
Right.
But the stranger one was fans of Star Wars have went and watched the first movie, the Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, and spotted a brand new section. Well, I shouldn't say a section.
Another revamping of a scene.
Yeah, so apparently before Lucas sold Star Wars to Disney, they were going to do a 4K 3D release.
Yep.
And in it, Lucas made one more shot at the scene where Greedo confronts Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's seen the thing where Han shoots first, and then they made it to where Greedo kind of shot first, and Han kind of ducks it in a really weird way. And
right.
So he's been tampering with this for forever.
Mm-hmm.
Since the 1997 re-release. But he made one final attempt to where Greedo says, I've been looking forward to this. And Han says, yes, I bet you have. And instead of pulling the trigger, it cuts back to Greedo, who says, McClunky?
Yes.
Apparently. And then it goes back and the shots get fired very quickly and Greedo goes face down on the table.
Yes.
I thought people were fucking with me when I first heard about it. I was like, no, come on. Because it makes no sense what happens.
Right.
It literally cuts back to a scene of Greedo from earlier in the conversation. But instead of putting a lower third on there or a subtitle that says what he's saying, he simply says McClunky. And then dies.
And then dies.
So I'm not really sure what the intent was. Maybe they were working on it and Lucas said, well, that's good enough for selling it to Disney. I don't know, but it was really, really bizarre.
See, I don't understand why it's such a big deal. I know that they don't want to make Khan out to be a murderer, but he was a scoundrel. He was a fugitive. I'm sure he would have shot first, knowing what was coming, to defend himself. So let it go.
Right. And they have since made it part of Han's character.
Right.
Like they're it's very clear in Solo that Han is a killer.
Mm-hmm.
Like he shoots Beckett first in the chest while he's trying to talk to him. Like he was an Imperial soldier. He kills all kinds of stormtroopers. Like,
but as an Imperial soldier, wouldn't you think he'd have bad aim?
Well, so yeah, I know. And there's all those theories of like they're missing on purpose,
right?
You know, whether you want to believe that or not, I don't know. But you know, the stormtroopers know how important these rebels are,
so they just want to scare them.
They need to let him go. So in order to do it, they miss on purpose. Because there's all that stuff about in A New Hope where they're looking at the Sandcrawler, and
right.
And Ben Kenobi says that it's far too accurate for anybody else but stormtroopers. Like he's calling out how accurate they normally are,
right?
And then all of a sudden, like they're missing left, right, and center. So I don't know what you want to believe. I think it's just a filmmaking technique because you don't want to kill your heroes.
Sure.
I don't know. You know, maybe the Force is deflecting the blaster bolts. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the midichlorians.
It's too much thought being put into a fantasy movie.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, all right, people. I understand how rabid fandom can be. However,
I'm really surprised though that so one of the other things that Disney did this past week is there are, I guess, like pieces that come up before some of the older Disney things and talk about like racial insensitivity in some of the movies. And that it's a product of the time and they're aware of it. And so they just want to make sure that you know that you might see some things that you might think is racially insensitive. So
is that in front of Dumbo?
I think it's in front of Dumbo. It might be in front of Lady and the Tramp with the Siamese cats.
Oh yeah,
you know, that kind of shit. Because in the I've have people who watch the live action Lady and the Tramp, and they've changed the Siamese cats to a pair of urban cats.
Yes.
So, you know, they were trying to, I guess, squash one stereotype with another.
Yeah.
I guess. So, but I'm really surprised if that's what, if that's the way that they're going, that they just don't present like the theatrical cuts of Star Wars on here and say, look, if you want to watch the ones that are deemed not complete by the maker of the films, here you go. And maybe in the future they'll do that.
Yeah, but, could be.
You know, it's an interesting thing from Disney to be like, yeah, we know that what we did in the past is not a kosher now, but
it's a sign of the times.
Yes,
it's like that was this because I watched one old movie, haven't seen in years that. Called Blackbeard's Ghost with Peter Ustinov and the usual cast of Disney regulars from the 60s, Dean Jones, Suzanne Plachette.
Okay.
And Dean Jones is the Newtown track coach, and he goes to this inn where the school is putting him up, and there's a fair going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Suzanne Plachette is standing there in front of the kissing booth, and he goes up and he just grabs her and plants one on her. It's like, whoa, me too. And then, so she goes, I don't work here. So he gives the girl behind the booth a buck and goes in for a long one and says, wow, that's a value for its month for the money. It was, you know, I'm very satisfied. And Suzanne Plachette is like, oh, really? Do you want to try it for the $5 special? He's like, why not? And then she gives him a big one.
Wow.
It's like, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, definitely a sign of the times.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're going to do that, so why not put on Song of the South?
Well, that's just it. Or you know what? Just stop bitching about Song of the South. Re-edit it so it's just the stories.
Right.
Just the animated pieces.
Right.
And be done with it.
Like Song of the South. There,
well, I mean, I'm sorry. I have Song of the South on VHS.
Yeah.
Illegally. And I don't see the big deal. No, no, none of the slaves are being abused. There's no guy with a whip out in the fields. It's just the way they're living.
Right.
And it's yeah, that happened. And then people are saying that there's this one scene, the little white boy gets gored by a bull.
Okay.
And there's a scene where all the slaves are outside his bedroom window singing a hymn.
Right.
It's like, what's wrong with that? Because obviously they were very fond of this family. They weren't, you know, scared for their lives.
Wasn't it like part of like the whole tar baby thing? And like,
well, that's one of the stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, a tar baby is a problem you've caused by getting involved in something that was none of your damn business.
Okay.
So the tar baby was a decoy. I think, I don't know if Br'er Rabbit made it or whatever, but I mean, a tar baby didn't reference a black person until later.
Okay.
As far as I know.
I mean, that was always my understanding, was like some of the language and what they refer to in that movie is what people had the issue with. I only saw it once a long time ago, so I don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
Other than Zippity Doodah.
I don't know. People are so sensitive today. Fuck them. Yeah. So So have you been watching? What have you been watching?
Well, the main thing has been The Mandalorian.
Of course.
And we'll get to that in a little while, I guess. But like last night, the kid wanted to watch the second Little Mermaid film, which he had never seen before. And she had seen it on there, so she was like, hey, let's watch that. And then we watched Captain Marvel because she wanted to watch that, and then she fell asleep like a third of the way through it. So, you know, I guess it is what it is. But I've been watching... The first day, all I did was I watched The Mandalorian, and then I went through and I marked a whole bunch of the movies that I wanted to watch that I didn't know that were on there or that, like, I hadn't seen... in a really long time. And like, as soon as I saw him, I put him on my list because I was like, well, maybe it'll get lost in the shuffle or whatever. But you know, like things like The Rocketeer and the original Muppet movie and Tron and The Black Cauldron and shit like that.
Yes.
So I haven't watched any of it yet, but
yeah, I do find it odd that they don't have any of the Indiana Jones films, because I guess that distribution is still under Paramount or Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it's weird. Disney went to, I guess, Stars, who had the rights to Endgame.
Okay.
And said, we'll play Stars commercials, which I haven't seen any.
Right.
If you'll give us Endgame for the opening of Disney Plus. And they did that. So I'm a little confused. I guess it's because it's a Paramount distributed film, set of films, that they haven't made those negotiations yet. Because, I mean, they paid for however much of the standalone MCU Spider-Man films, and they're not on it either.
Right.
Because of Sony, so... I feel like it's only stuff that they have access to.
Free and clear.
Yeah, because a couple of the MCU stuff, a couple of the early ones that were done under different negotiated contracts aren't on there either. So it's very strange the way it all comes out. Because you think they made the films.
Right.
Or the companies they own made the films. Why can't they put them on the streaming service? But
right.
You know.
And I'm sure nobody's nobody is racing to Stars because of certain movies.
No.
You know, I mean, based on what is available on Stars, and I have it because it's part of this lame ass bundle. It's a lot of old, outdated movies, and it's a couple of really good series like American Gods.
Right.
So I don't think that, you know, it's like, oh my God, I need to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. What cable company owns it?
Right. Yeah, usually what I end up doing is I will look at Netflix, and if they don't have it, then I look at Amazon. If they don't have it, I'm like, well, fuck it. I guess I'm not getting to watch it. But yeah, nobody's going, hey, Stars has it. Let's sign up for Stars for however much a month it is.
Right.
But I mean, the number of things on Disney Plus is like staggering for.
It is.
For being a brand new service.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the way that it's split up, like at the top where it's, if you're just looking for Disney films or just looking for the Star Wars stuff or the Marvel stuff.
Right.
Or Pixar, because it makes it really easy to be like, okay, Wally's Pixar, so let me go into the Pixar section and then look for Wally.
Sure.
Which I appreciate. But so, did you watch, since we last spoke, there had been not one, but two Mandalorian episodes.
Uh-huh.
Did you watch both of them?
I did. I'm a
Okay.
little disappointed at the length.
So the first one was a little less than 45 minutes, and the second one was like 32 minutes,
Yeah.
which is strange, for a series that cost reportedly $150 million for the 8 episodes.
Right.
Maybe this is not indicative of what else is coming.
Okay.
Somebody online had said, you know what it really felt like is that the second episode was maybe part of the first one,
Okay.
and they cut it in a logical spot and then had 32 minutes left over of the story and said, fuck it, that's episode two. So that maybe this next one will be 45 to closer to an hour,
Right.
and this was just a fluke of editing.
Still a weird decision to make for something that is so highly publicized.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm also not opposed to the idea of telling the story and not having to worry about length.
Okay.
Anybody who's watched like the CW superhero films or superhero TV shows knows that in the middle you start to get these filler episodes where they're kind of treading water until they can conclude their arc of the season.
Right.
And I would much rather have Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni make the decision of like, this part of the story only takes 32 minutes to tell between what we need to accomplish in the beginning to the end is only 32 minutes. Well, that's what it's going to end up being instead of trying to fill it out and put things in there that may not work with the rest of the story. I don't know. I because if you watch the first episode, the first half of the first episode is all like fan service.
Oh, of course.
It's all, hey, look at all these things from Star Wars that we're putting in there.
Right.
And we're going to show you that yes, he's a badass, and the tone of this is more the good, the bad, and the ugly than it is like sci-fi adventure in the way that you think of Star Wars. In the very beginning of the first episode, when the iris door opens, there is a musical callback to Good and Bad and the Ugly.
I was going to say this is very much a Western, and
Yes.
it really reminds me of Firefly.
Some of it, yes, absolutely. Yep, they have the kind of like the broken down ship, and you have a guy that is in charge that is like, you don't really know what his intentions are.
Yep.
But yeah, it very much felt that way. But it was very much like, hey, remember the guy that sold out Luke Skywalker on Tatooine to the Imperials when they were getting on the Millennium Falcon? We're gonna have one of those guys. And then, remember that thing that came out and talked to C-3PO from Jabba's Palace? We're gonna have one of
Right,
those.
we're gonna have that, yeah.
And like it was almost like they walked through the Lucasfilm archives and just pointed at stuff and said, can we borrow that? And can we borrow that? And oh, I got a place for this. So it very much felt like that. There's people that say that Boba Fett is actually in like where all the Mandalorians are. I don't think that's Boba Fett. I think they did that as kind of a callback. And
Okay.
to dissuade the people who were like, well, this is just Boba Fett with a different outfit. So I mean the very the first half before he goes on the quest to find his bounty is like 30 minutes of setup. And
Right.
then the actual story of him going to get the bounty is about 30 minutes. Well, not even like
Right.
it's 15, 20 minutes of, and you get a 5 minute thing in there of him trying to learn how to ride. Up, I forget what they call them.
The thing,
the two legged thing, his horse for the Western.
Yes.
Part.
Yes. McClunky.
Yeah. But I mean, there's very much like the showdown at the OK Corral type thing that's in there, and it's very much like Western type thing.
Yes, and I swear Constable Zuvio is in there.
I saw that too.
See,
as soon as I saw like the greenish, like helmet thing.
Yep.
I said, oh, so they found that in the storage thing and said, hey, since nobody's ever seen that before, can we have that? It's almost a way to justify spending the cost on the outfit. So, yeah, I saw that too.
Sure.
So we meet IG-11 in the first episode that is voiced by Taika Waititi.
Yes.
And I thoroughly enjoyed the interaction between those two.
Yes. I really liked the way IG-11 moved.
Yes, very mechanical.
Very mechanical, and the fact that his torso rotated all the way around and him shooting with the blasters with both arms straight out to the sides. That was all very cool.
I love the interaction with him. He kept trying to blow himself up.
Yes.
And the Mandalorian was like, no, just stop for a second. Just cover me. Okay. But I almost wanted him, Taika Waititi, to do Korg as IG-11.
Okay.
I almost wanted him to be like, I'm IG-11. I'm made of metal.
Yes.
Hey, guys. We're here for the bounty.
Yeah, and I was surprised he got killed in the first episode.
Or did he?
Well, yeah.
He's just a robot.
That's true. Those Weequay things could have, you know, there could be one guy left alive in that bunker.
Yeah. So we come to find out that the Mandalorian has been sent to find a member of Yoda's species.
Yes.
With a
baby Yoda.
With baby Yoda?
Who's 500 years old.
50 years old.
Oh, 50 years old?
Yes.
Oh.
That was, so he says.
Not so impressive then.
so when Werner Herzog hires a Mandalorian, he says, we can only give you his age. He's 50 years old. And then when the Mandalorian sees him and he said, but he's 50 years old. IG-11 says, but people, different species age at different rates.
Right.
There's a theory out there that it is Yoda as a clone.
Okay.
The doctor that is with Werner Herzog, who bursts in and scares the Mandalorian, is wearing a patch on his shoulder that they were wearing at the Kamino cloning facility in episode 2.
Oh.
So at some point during the Clone Wars or just after, they got a hold of some genetic material from Yoda and have been cloning him, which is why he's 50. So it kind of makes sense. But I really enjoyed the fact that the Yoda baby thing was a puppet and not a CG creature.
Right.
Especially in the second episode when they go back to the ship and they find that the Jawas have stripped the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that
which
scene.
Which was a great scene.
There's a scene where the Mandalorian is chasing the Sandcrawler.
Yes.
And then it cuts back and you see the little floating egg thing.
Yep.
Like coming up behind them.
Trying to stay. Yeah.
Because I guess he's connected to the Mandalorian's gauntlet.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, I thought that was funny. He's just like along for the ride.
I loved the whole Jawa sequence.
So was Baby Yoda on Tatooine?
No. It's a different planet.
But I thought the Jawas were indigenous to Tatooine.
However, if you purchase the new action figures, there are off-world Jawas.
Oh, okay. Because it was a very Tatooine-like planet.
Oh, very much so.
The only thing that made me think it wasn't Tatooine was that scene where they're going to find the Jawas. It's him and Kewl, I think is how you pronounce his name, the Nick Nolte character.
Yep.
And they're in the rain. And I
Yep.
was like, I don't think it rains on Tatooine, unless that's a recent development since the Empire fell.
No.
So I thought that was a little weird. So, okay. So there's off-world Jawas.
Yes.
Okay.
This one is probably is apparently called Arvala 7.
Okay. Because they had different colored eyes than the
Yep.
ones on Tatooine. So I wasn't quite sure. But one of the things that I really like about the Mandalorian TV series is that he's not the greatest bounty hunter in the world.
Right.
He gets the shit kicked out of him a lot.
Yeah.
And he's got the Mandalorian thing of like, don't give up, like you're gonna die trying no matter what.
Right.
So he's not invincible. He's not just shoot the thing once and it falls over dead. He's constantly having to repair his armor and his chest plate. And, you think he gets to the top of the sand crawler and you're like, okay, he's going to get up there. And then they just shoot him and he falls off
Right.
and you're like, oh, okay. He's not like super human Mandalorian guy.
Right.
He suffers and he gets hurt and he gets beat an awful lot. They show you he's a kick-ass bounty hunter in the first episode, but like since then he's had his ass handed to him a couple of times. And I also appreciate the storytelling mechanism of finding out what's going on along with him. Because in too many shows they will cut to, like in a lot of other shows, they would have cut back to Werner Herzog in that little room talking to the doctor and giving him information so that we as the audience would know what was going on.
Right.
And they didn't do that. They just leave it so that you discover that it's a baby Yoda type creature. And then, okay, he's force sensitive. Okay. You're finding it out as the Mandalorian is finding it out. And I like that kind of storytelling.
Yeah, it's definitely very well done.
Yeah.
Very well done.
The
So we'll have to.
only thing that I do not like about the TV show is the music. I feel like it's too Western.
Yeah.
I would almost like a Western inspired, like science fiction sounding score.
Okay.
And this, it just seems too much on the nose of like good bit, the good, the bad, and the ugly, or
Well,
like the spaghetti westerns.
right.
But
Well,
that's
maybe
just me.
that's going to evolve as the series evolves.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know?
I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that we haven't even met yet.
Right.
So like Gina Carano's character and the guy that was on Breaking Bad that plays, he plays like an Imperial commander or something. We haven't met him yet. So, the Mandalorian, there's shots of the Mandalorian towards the end where he's in an entirely new set of armor.
Yeah.
So apparently he makes good on the bounty and gets his Beskar
Right.
medal and
And boy,
then
for that
goes
little
back.
piece of Beskar, a little bit bigger than a deck of cards, it melted down into a pretty big pauldron that she built for him.
And then she says that the runoff will sponsor a whole bunch of
foundlings.
Foundlings. So
yes,
that shit goes a long way, apparently.
Yeah.
You can do all kinds of shit with that stuff.
And I also like the idea that that kind of says that they are not all bad.
Who, the Mandalorians?
The Mandalorians, that they have some sense of, I don't know, morality to them.
Right. I mean, but I think whenever they've been shown, their big turn in Clone Wars and stuff was them fighting for their world.
Right.
Like Death Watch and all that stuff was trying to save the Mandalorian race.
Right.
So I feel like they're very honorable people.
Mm-hmm.
And that what you've seen, like there's all that, those things that say like Jango and Boba Fett are not Mandalorians.
Right.
That they adopted the armor because of what the Mandalorians stood for, but they're not actual Mandalorians.
Right.
So I don't know. I know that there were a lot of people after the first episode that were very mad that the Mandalorian doesn't take off his helmet and he's a man of few words, but
right.
I mean, so was Boba Fett. How many lines does Boba Fett have in Empire Strikes Back? 6?
Yeah.
Like there's not that many. So there, Jango Fett ran his mouth a lot, but again, he wasn't a Mandalorian. So, and he took off his helmet a lot. Not a Mandalorian. Which I think is why in the beginning of episode 1, when he's bringing the guy in and the, like, he's basically the exposition of like, so you guys never take your helmets off.
Right.
And he does all that stuff as a kind of way of saying, hey, look, these guys are known not to take their helmets off. So don't expect him to be whipping it off and showing his face every 5 minutes. I mean, and when he goes and visits the Mandalorian stronghold or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
every single Mandalorian has a helmet on, and so do the little kids. The little kids running around are wearing helmets as well, so
right.
It's not like, it's a way of life for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering whether the rangefinder is something that he has to like work up to.
Oh, don't know.
Because he seems to be the only one without a rangefinder.
Right.
And then I guess when the blacksmith chick asks about his sigil.
Uh-huh.
And he says, not yet.
He says he doesn't have. Right.
Yeah, so maybe he's going to get one by the end. And apparently Pedro Pascal has said he does have a name, and he said it, and I don't remember what it was, but so maybe we'll find out his name as well.
Yeah.
I kind of like the no name thing.
Well, goes back to the spaghetti western.
Yeah. I like Nick Nolte's character.
I do too. It took me a while to realize that's who it was.
It looks just like him.
I know, but I was thinking he would be somebody human. Because Nick Nolte is not known as a voice actor.
Well, I think that's why they did it.
Yeah.
I think they were like, look, you can roll into a studio and do this. And he was like, okay, I can do that.
Yeah. You can record this in your underwear.
I have spoken.
And he probably has.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was a little skeptical because of The Last Jedi and things that the Disney Star Wars machine has done in the past. I was like, mm-hmm. What is this going to be? Is it really going to live up to everything that it could be?
Right.
As a Star Wars TV show. And the first thing you see is him kill the guy with the iris door.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, they're setting this up to be what it needs to be a Star Wars. It very much feels like Star Wars.
Yep.
And not so much like the movies kind of feel like fan films.
Yep.
And I think that has a lot to do with Jon Favreau.
Well, Jon Favreau did say he wants to do a new holiday special.
Well, he got in his references.
Yeah.
The one dude talks about Life Day.
Yep.
So.
And I was surprised to find out that the blue alien that's his first, well, it's not his first because you see he's got a hold full of carbonized people. But the first hit we see him going on is Horatio Sands.
Yep.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yep, and Brian Posehn was the speeder driver.
And my friend Chris Bartlett was the ferryman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, 1 degree separated from Star Wars, John.
That's right.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder how the carbon freezing thing is so in fashion, because in Empire Strikes Back, Boba was kind of afraid of it killing
right.
Solo. So I'm not sure how that became a Mandalorian thing all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's cool that he's got like a portable carbonite freezer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was a little strange. I was like, wait a minute. Did Boba like go out to like the Mandalorian like Facebook page and be like, hey, got this new way of keeping bounties.
Right.
Like, here's what we did on Bespin. And all the other Mandalorians went, oh, okay. Because this Mandalorian character would have been a bounty hunter during the time of Empire Strikes Back.
Sure.
I mean, because from everything that they've shown in the flashbacks and parts of flashbacks that have been in trailers that we haven't seen yet is like that happens during like the Clone Wars.
Right.
So this Mandalorian is at least 40 years old.
Right. And we know that the Mandalorian is taking place between episodes 6 and 7.
Yeah. It's 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So, I'm kind of interested to see how they tell his backstory. Because yeah. He didn't seem to understand the Force and what Baby Yoda was doing. And he would have been around at the time of the Jedi. So I'm interested to see how they're going to do that too.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
It definitely piqued my interest.
Yeah. I mean, I would highly recommend it. I think it delivered on all fronts, and we'll see where he goes in 6 more episodes.
Yeah. So this, I just pulled up a thing that apparently Disney Plus will have expiration dates on a lot of their movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like, apparently The Princess and the Frog is only on the service until November 25th of this year.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah. All right, and then it goes on to say, before you get too worried about your favorite movies and television shows leaving the service, it's entirely likely that these dates are simply placeholders and nothing to be worried about.
Oh, okay.
Disney spokesperson previously told us they wouldn't be rotating a slate of content as seen on some competing services. So, okay. Because that would suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they were staggering releases. There are some things that are on there that you click on and it's like coming on December, or, you know, it's not, they're not on yet, but they're coming. But that would suck. There is, I don't know how much you look through it, but there is a category in there that's called From the Vault.
Yes.
Which is like all the big ones like Lion King and Aladdin and all that. So I was wondering if at some point they would go back into the vault. and then get re-released on like a every 2 years or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That would just be, that would suck. So I don't know. I hope they don't do that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Did you see that?
We gotta pause for a minute.
Okay. All right.
I'll be right back.
Okay. All right, we're back. did you see that this week that the Joker became the first rated R film to go past $1 billion at the box office?
Yes.
That's crazy. It's amazing how much that movie's resonating with people.
Yeah. Good for them, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Scorsese thinks of it, but...
Well, you know, he just thinks it all sucks.
Yeah.
Which, apparently, there was rumor that they had offered it to him first as like, a directing thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that he turned it down, but he was very aware of what was going on because De Niro was in it.
Right.
And De Niro was like, yeah, like we're making this movie. It's very reminiscent of King of Comedy.
Yeah. Oh, very much so.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's so fucking weird. Oh boy, it's the weekend.
Wow. Which trailer park do you live in?
Oh, the one right off the highway. Yeah, welcome to my life. I'm just going to be so happy when this is all over. Oh, never mind. Oh.
You could edit that out.
I'm not gonna. Did you also see what they released this week? That Motorola announced a new version of their old Razr phone.
Yes.
Which has a foldable screen.
Does it have a foldable screen, or does it have two screens that are hinged together?
No, it's a foldable screen. It's a screen that actually bends into a teardrop shape.
Okay.
When you close the lid.
All right.
So it's one continuous thing, a screen. But the catch is that it's $1,500.
Yeah.
For this, like, there. The reviews that I saw said that it was almost like a prototype phone. Like, it doesn't do all the things that a normal cell phone does because the gimmick is that it folds into your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike the other folding phones that fold out to more of like a tablet size.
Right.
This is folding out into a normal phone size thing.
Okay.
So it's weird.
Yeah.
But $1,500 for a fucking phone, like that's more than an iPhone 11.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know who they think is going to be buying that shit.
Well, it's a novelty. Somebody's going to have it.
That's just it. That's exactly what that is. But if it doesn't do everything, why the fuck would you even want it?
Yeah, well...
weird. I don't know.
Whatever. So while we're still on the Disney Plus subject,
uh-huh.
You see that the Michael Jackson episode of The Simpsons is not being part of the offering?
No, why?
James L. Brooks says that it's our story and we're allowed to delete chapters of it. So there you have it.
Okay.
And probably the same reason why you can't watch The Devil and Max Devlin with Bill Cosby.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
But I thought it was every episode of The Simpsons. Wasn't that what they were touting?
Yes. So I guess you're going to have to keep your old DVDs.
You know, that's what people were afraid of when Disney announced that they were going to be vaulting certain Fox properties that they acquired in the merger. This is what they were afraid of. Was things from the past that have been accepted and seen and whatever, all of a sudden not having access to it because the parent company thinks it's unnecessary or
too controversial
or any of that bullshit. It's like just it is what it is. It's a sign of the times. It's, if you're going to put up the insensitivity stuff in front of the movies, why can't you do that in front of the TV shows?
Yeah. I mean, why do you have to censor history?
Right. It's like the, did you ever see the Seinfeld Puerto Rican Day Parade episode?
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah. And they won't show it because they say it's racially insensitive to Puerto Ricans. And every Puerto Rican I know thought it was funny. So
yeah,
like, somebody is being the judge for everybody else and saying, we think people don't want to see this. Well, no, it's the fucking conservative right that doesn't want to see it.
Right. We have to protect people, Chris.
Yeah, whatever.
But only from certain things that we think are wrong.
Right. Correct.
So, yeah.
The media is bad, but the shit that we're doing is fine.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Yes.
I don't get it.
Bizarre. Weird, weird world we live in.
Oh, I guess Trump just made an unscheduled visit to his doctor.
Yes, uh-oh. I think they were pulling his foot out of his mouth.
Or his ass.
Yeah. I just can't believe they can't arrest him right now for witness tampering.
See, I think they can. I think they're scared to, because then that puts Pence in office.
Yeah.
And who knows what the fuck that motherfucker's going to do. I still kinda... Go ahead.
So, yeah, well, no, I'm not going to say that. Don't want the feds coming down.
I still think that the Democrats do not want the impeachment inquiry to get him out of office. I feel like their grand plan is to discredit him in the next election.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I kind of feel like that's because I think there is steps that they could be taking to get him out of there, but they're afraid of the backlash instead of just having the American people decide.
Right.
Because then they don't have to take blame for it or whatever.
Oh, but there's going to be something so satisfying of the entire family being let out in handcuffs.
Yeah, well,
you know,
but I mean, I think it makes it an interesting thing that if they did get rid of him and Pence got put in there, does Pence run for office in 2020?
He'd have to.
What if there's another Republican? Because there were other Republicans that were going to run against Trump for the nomination.
Yeah.
So does it back to the drawing board with less than a year to the election? Like, that puts them in a really bizarre situation.
Mm.
But I mean, and then do the Republican idiots come out and support a Pence just because you got rid of our hero?
See, I just want to know what deal with the devil all these people made.
He's making them millions of dollars. Everything that they've asked him to do about rolling back EPA stuff and manufacturing and all that other shit, he's done.
Yeah.
And he's making everybody a shitload of money, so they're defending him because that's the money train.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess Giuliani has said that if Trump tries to throw him under the bus, he's just going to release everything he knows, which is just a terrible way of saying, yes, everything that you think about him is true.
Right.
And I have the proof. Well, right. Wouldn't it be better for the American people to know the truth? Like,
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. That's what I,
or do you think that the truth is going to be so horrible that, you know, it's, I don't know. Politics is whack.
It is. It's a really weird, fucked up thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking about it today. Like everybody wants to scream about socialism and people saying that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren want to take away democracy. And it was like, well, it's not really working right now.
Right.
And the programs that they're trying to put out there can be considered socialism, but if it's the best thing for the people at this point in time, why is it so bad that everybody has access to healthcare?
Well, it's the whole fact that there's this 1% of people who own all the wealth in the country.
Yep.
That, you know, if you took away half of it, you could give everybody healthcare and education and all this other shit, and they would still have millions and billions of dollars.
Yep.
And yet they're so greedy that, you know, that's where we are. Sucks.
And it's a very fucked up situation.
Yep.
It is pretty amazing. Oh, well. Maybe he'll find out there's something really wrong with Trump and he'll just have to step down.
Well, and then that puts Pence in place.
Well, yeah.
See, you got to get rid of Pence at the same time you get rid of Trump.
But then that puts Nancy Pelosi in there.
And
the Republicans don't want that.
Screw the Republicans at this point.
I know. Hey, I got
you. I think it's time to get rid of the damn two-party system and let people vote their conscience and not, you know, be beholden to lobbyists and all this other shit.
Yep, I agree.
But anyway.
So says John. John has spoken.
I have spoken. Yes, vote for me.
Yes.
2021, whatever it is.
2020.
2020.
Yep. Be running on the wrong year.
Yeah, right? I'll be a year late.
Hey, vote for me next year. For what? For president. That's already been decided, John. Oh.
Oh, darn.
And then you have a really sad look.
Wah, wah.
You look like sad little Yoda.
Oh. I'm digging baby Yoda.
Are you?
I mean, that's a merchandise gold mine right there.
It is pretty awesome.
You know, I mean, because he doesn't speak yet, right?
No,
we haven't seen him speak.
He just makes those little sounds.
Right. You could easily do something like like a Teddy Ruxpin baby Yoda. Where it sits on your desk and it makes, you know, it makes these noises, and I guess it could, like, you know, learn things like Furbies.
Right.
So.
And when you get hurt, it reaches out for you. Like on a,
yes.
Like, you know. And then you yes. just put him back in.
That
his,
was my favorite scene where he kept trying to heal the Mandalorian, and he's like, picks it up, puts it back in the crib.
Yep.
A minute later, he's standing there again, picks it up, puts it back in the crib.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well done, Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
We'll forgive you for Jungle Book.
And Lion King.
No.
No, you're not forgiving him for Lion
that,
King?
No, that we're going to hold over his head.
Oh, okay.
Damn. That was a travesty.
Do you forgive him for Zathura?
Well, I mean, Zathura was okay as a follow-up to Jumanji.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great piece of movie making, but it was a fun little romp.
Okay.
I think that's all you can expect.
There you go.
Yeah. No, I did see something very odd. I think maybe it was on Stars. There's a movie called The Sh Chef, which
Okay.
stars Jon Favreau, Robert Downey Jr., and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, it was the dude opening a food truck, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
It's like, is that really a prequel to the Marvel Universe?
And that there's a spin-off show on Netflix right now where Jon Favreau goes around with the guy who helped him make that movie and they interview chefs and like movie stars.
Okay.
And there's an episode where they're sitting around a table and it's Jon Favreau, his chef pal, Robert Downey Jr., Tom Holland, the Russo brothers, and they're talking about like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's fascinating, the everything that goes on there.
Right.
So, yeah, I like Chef. Isn't like Sofia Vergara in it too? Isn't
I
she
don't
in
know.
it?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, I thought you watched it, man.
No.
You just flip by it?
I just flipped by it.
Yeah. Because Robert Downey Jr. is in that film for maybe 5 minutes.
Yes.
So it's more of a glorified cameo.
That's right.
Because that's all he's doing now.
It's glorified cameos.
Yeah. Why does he
Okay.
have to work?
Well, exactly. Because it'll keep him from doing the drugs. Hopefully.
Hopefully. But I mean, he's got
Hopefully.
enough money, he can do the drugs anyway.
Well, that's just it, but he needs to keep busy so he doesn't. He's got to stay clean before, we have to remove all the Iron Man movies from Disney Plus.
Oh, Jesus, could you imagine? You find out he's been killing hookers for the last 10 years, and they're like, oh, Jesus,
With
okay.
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, with Charlie Sheen, that like they're getting together on the
Yes.
weekends and killing hookers, and then you're like, holy shit, we can't watch any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe anymore.
Right.
What a shame. All right, you got anything else for this week?
No, I think that's enough.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John
Have a good week.
McClunky.